30 years ago today, the Great White Wall, that terrible blizzard that swept in from the north, stranded thousands, killed dozens. We're getting texts here. Sad, let me read one quick one here. A text at 35270. With the sun shining brightly, my girlfriend and I left for Jamestown. It got really bad by Valley City and was too bad to turn back. A semi passed us after Valley City. We could only see if we looked out our side windows. The semi that passed us was in an accident in front of us, and two people were killed. We eventually made it to Jamestown safely after 3.5 hours. Scariest drive of my life, and that was 30 years ago today.
Jack and Sandy, another text message. I was with the National Guard that day on 19th Avenue with other soldiers trying to rescue the people stranded. I was one of those who found the four people that didn't make it that day.
We also made mention during the last hour that the barricades preventing traffic onto 19th Avenue north in Fargo were put up because of that storm and the death of those people to which that National Guardsman referred. And someone texted us also to say they used to pile snow to block 19th when there was a storm coming, and now they've got a gate.
Where were you 30 years ago today? Joe is first. Hey, Joe, you're on KFGO.
Yeah, I guess I was northeast of here, about 60 miles, and went out to lived in town, but my dad and I went out to our farm, and I remember just all of a sudden it started snowing, you know, like pretty heavy, and he said, we got to go, and within, it was a half mile to the county road, and in that short amount of time, you couldn't see anything, and then just another half mile, we made it over to the neighbors. Stayed there, I guess, but I just can't, you know, I always remember how fast it hit.
How old were you?
I guess I was 7.
7 years old.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. I've gotten so many responses on our Facebook page. Carmela writes, 1125 2nd Street North Fargo, likely nestled in my mother's arms or in my crib. Susan writes, I was a young widow with three small girls. Yes, I was scared. Tammy Swift writes, I remember it well. I was in college and we were hoping school would be canceled. Daniel writes, he was in 9th grade, Baudette, Minnesota. No storm sticks out any more than another. We probably had school. Dave writes, he was at Chubb's. Doug writes, I was trapped at my parents' house in Moorhead, phoning in reports to NPR because I wasn't in the St. Paul studio hosting Morning Edition. Beth writes, stuck at my dad and brother's business at the team steps all night. Wow, what a storm that was. Deb writes, my dad was in intensive care. My mom and sister were staying at my apartment. The next morning, I woke up hearing my sister yelling, it's raining in your kitchen. The French doors in the third floor apartment flew open through the night and all of the pipes froze, raining in my dining room and kitchen. The kitchen ceiling fell, just missing my mom. A memorable February. Wow.
30 years ago today, it was a history-making snowstorm that blew in, and it became, it was called the Great White Wall.
Mike, you're on KFGO.
Hi.
Where were you 30 years ago?
Well, I guess I can't say I literally remember it, but I was born in St. Ansgar 30 years ago today.
No kidding.
Yeah, so my mom tells me about that story every year.
How did they get to the hospital? What time of day were you delivered?
She went into the hospital about 4 o'clock in the morning, and we lived in Southmore, just in North Fargo at the time, actually. Not too far away, just on the other side of the river. So,
you mean 4 in the morning on the 4th or 4 in the morning on the 3rd?
On the 4th.
Oh, so you were okay. Safely in the hospital when the Great
yep.
White Wall hit. When did you go
yep.
home? Did she ever tell you?
I think I was only there for a day, and we headed home.
All right, well, find out what the roads were like getting home, and thanks for calling, Mike, and happy birthday. So certainly that would be a birthday you wouldn't forget. It was the day of the Great White Wall. We have Joe with us here. Joe, you're on KFGO. Thanks for dialing.
Yeah, I was a police officer a couple of years on the force in West Fargo, and 13th Avenue, not a lot of people used it, but Main Avenue. There was a lot of traffic up there. I think West Acres had closed, and I was up in that intersection of 9th Street, Main Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And we directed traffic down to 4th Avenue and tried to guide it over to the high school, the West Fargo High School, the old high school. They opened up the gym for people. We got in a lot of people over there.
You helped evacuate people to the high school, you're saying?
Yeah.
They couldn't make it home, and so the high school was open. How many do you suppose took shelter in the high school in West Fargo?
At least 70-some.
Oh, my.
I know. I did. We had 75 vehicles stranded between 4th Street, where the post office is now, and where Stop and Go is now. 75 vehicles were the next day.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate
you.
That. Appreciate your service that day, too.
Here's a text message from Mike. I was lucky and got to the hospital early Saturday morning. My son was born at 5 a.m., so I missed it all. Never forget that day for two reasons. My son just called you.
Joe, you're on KFGO. Where were you? What do you remember about that day 30 years ago?
Well, I'll never forget that day. I lived in Minot at the time. I was a senior in high school, and I was playing a hockey game in the West Fargo Arena with my high school team. And the game got over, and they came in and told us we weren't going to leave the rink. And we ended up spending the night in the rink with the fans and the teams and the cheerleaders and everything. We were in that old arena on the fairgrounds, and it was miserably cold and actually turned out to be kind of a fun experience for a high school
kid. You were stranded in a terrible blizzard in a hockey arena.
Yeah, in West Fargo. Yep.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Pam, you're on KFGO.
Hi. I was living up by 32nd Avenue, and it was about over by 25th Street and 32nd Avenue. Anyway, my sister had come up from Morton, and we were playing cards in my house, and I was pregnant, and I didn't realize that I was getting sick, and I couldn't figure out why, and all of a sudden I passed out, so the family had to call and get an ambulance for me, and when the ambulance finally got there, I couldn't have anybody go with me because they couldn't put anybody more in danger, and it took us from that area that I was telling you to St. John's Hospital, and it took us about 2.5 hours to get there. And then when I got there, then, of course, I didn't have my baby until the 7th, which was 3 days later, so I had to go home. But when he was born 4 pounds, 9 ounces, so it kind of gave us a look at what was going on anyway, so it was a good thing.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Congratulations, big baby.
It was 30 years ago today. February 4th, 1984, the Great White Wall, 16 hours of a Great White Wall. Where were you? Back to the phones. Tim, you're on KFGO. Good afternoon. Where were you 30 years ago today?
Well, it's so happy you talk about 19th Avenue. At the time, I was working for FM Ambulance, and I was on duty that night, and we got the call that there were some stranded people up on 19th. And that a push was going to be made come daylight to try to reach them. And they knew there was people there. They weren't sure what kind of shape they were in. So we went up there at daylight, and my partner and I, and we staged ourselves. And I remember watching the Fargo Plows trying to punch a hole through 19th there, and they couldn't do it. The snow was so high and so hard from it being cold and blowing like crazy that they couldn't punch a hole. So we waited for the guard showed up with their big blower, and we just followed them. And I remember that car with the four in there. We opened up the driver's door, and it was obvious they were gone, and it was definitely carbon monoxide because of their skin color. And there was three of them. We shoveled away the back door, and there was Dad and a younger teenager at the wheel, and there was a teenager in the back seat. And I remember I pulled away the blanket away from around the legs of this teenager in the back seat, and there was the fourth one on the floor, huddled around the legs of the older one.
How, what kind of a emotional impact did that have on you guys after you'd been trying to save lives all morning?
Well, it's, uh, I, I think you don't think about it until afterwards. And I think that's true about anyone that you know of that works in the medical profession. You see the good, the bad, the ugly, and you just hope that sometime during the day that there's something good that you did, and you focus on that.
Tim, thank you for sharing that experience. I went on the air at noon that day. I was on the air until 6, but unfortunately, it was one of those days where we couldn't get everybody into the building. We couldn't get everybody here that day. So there was a handful of us that that were here and that were able to broadcast and were able to stay on the air through the 1984 blizzard. It was brewing to the north of us, and it was going to hit in about 2 or 3 hours from now. Let's go back to the phones on KFGO. Hey, Sharon, go ahead. You're on KFGO.
Good afternoon. My husband and I were driving home, a school bus full of volleyball girls. We were at a tournament at Hope Grove. We were on Highway 18 north of Amenia. We had just turned off on Cass County 4, and the bus radio went out. The superintendent from our school said, "Stop, where are you?" We stopped. We said where we were. We just barely turned off. He said, "Try to get back to 18 and try to get into Arthur." And he said, "There's a white wall coming." And it was about 2 minutes after that, the white wall hit. Mm-hmm. We were on 18. I sat on the bus steps with the door open. We drove inches by inches, and I was trying to see the white line. And when I couldn't see the white line, we stopped and waited. It took us quite a while to get to Arthur, which was about 3 miles. And the superintendent there was waiting at school for us, and all the girls got put in homes. And we made it safely, and the next afternoon we followed the plow the rest of the way back to Kate.
Wow. What a story, I bet. And you sound like you remember it as if it were yesterday.
Yes. It was quite terrifying, you know, when you have 20-some, 30-some girls on a bus you're responsible for.
Sure. Thanks, Sharon. Appreciate your call. Hey, Cindy, where were you 30 years ago?
Well, my husband and I and our 3-year-old daughter had decided to go down to Pelican Lake for the weekend. And my parents were down there. And as we were driving, this thing hit. We couldn't see anything. And somehow we made it to the Cormorant store. But this was, like this other lady said, inches by inches. And called my dad because we didn't have cell phones in those days. And he said the entrance to the lake is completely impossible. So he met us with snowshoes and a toboggan for my daughter and me. And we had to rough it, you know, probably like a city block. And we thought we were going to die just from that little bit outside. It was terrible.
Wow. It was that bad, wasn't it?
It was terrible.
It was that bad. If you were caught outside,
you
could not find your way back.
Right,
exactly. And remember, there wasn't a lot of snow. We only got 1 or 2 inches of snow.
Right.
And the wind gusts were as high as 80 miles an hour. And so that's what it was. It was that strong of a wind that blew that much snow to create a whiteout that never broke.
Never broke. It was terrifying.
Someone writes, "I remember the day well. I was on my way up to see my family in Foston. I knew there was a traveler's advisory, but went anyway. I got to Felton, used a payphone to call my family collect to ask if I should still come as it was getting blustery." Someday we'll talk about what payphones were for the younger people in the audience. "My brother said in one sentence, 'Go back to Fargo.' I headed back, had just got into Fargo on University Drive, and it was a complete whiteout immediately. I've always felt my brother saved my life. Otherwise, I would have been stranded in that storm. As it hit like night and day. The next day, when I heard about the poor people on 19th, I knew it could have been me, too. Thank you for writing, Betsy."
John, you're on KFGO. Good afternoon.
Hi, guys. My family used to run the Wagonwheel restaurant in Barnesville. When that storm hit, there was people stranded all over the place. I thought the last bus come off the highway at 10 o'clock at night. If I remember right, the storm hit in Barnes about 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was wrong. The last bus come off the highway at 2 o'clock in the morning. I stood there with my mouth open. I couldn't believe it. I don't know if they come from Concordia or what, but they told me the bus driver couldn't see the hood of his bus. They told me they drove that 30 miles with the door wide open, and they took turns walking in front of the bus all the way to Barnesville until they got off the exit.
Wow.
And then, not besides that, you go east of Barnesville, there's people stranded at the Galaxy on top of the 5 Mile Hill. The farmer that farms our land, I believe, went in the road ditch with his load of hay. There was two cars there with him. One had a strip van, no insulation. They had a baby. They wrapped the baby in gunny sacks to keep the baby warm. I talked to their mother 2 weeks ago and asked her if she remembered this, and she says she remembers another family there that the girl was at a dance recital somewhere, and they put gunny sacks in her legs to keep it warm.
Wow.
The next morning.
This is 1984, late 20th century, and we were reverting to survival tactics like we'd never conceived.
Unbelievable.
Boy.
Then they took two brother-in-laws took the front end loader and the bus outside of Barnesville and brought those people in.
Wow.
And lucky the town opened up, and we had people stranded all over the place.
There were, as Bill said, heroics everywhere, up and down interstates, up and down 12th Avenue, 19th Avenue, at the National Weather Service, evac people, people who were on the kind of radio that we use to communicate with people then. There's just endless people who saved lives that day.
Someone asked the question earlier, I wonder what the baby boom was like 9 months after this day, 30 years ago. Text 35270. Jack and Sandy, I think I was conceived 30 years ago today. I was born October 22nd, 1984. We received a message on Facebook. Was it 30 years ago? I was at KFGO doing overnights when it hit. I had to stay until Dick and Ricky Voigt picked us up. Picked up Tom and Larry on snowmobiles because it was the only way anyone could get around. 12-foot drifts in South Fargo on 13th Avenue. Stayed until noon. I could only get to a friend's house in South Fargo. Had to stay there for a day and a half, pretty sure. Well, it was 30 years ago today. Kevin Flynn there.
Ethel, you're on KFGO. Hello, what do you remember?
Well, it was my brother-in-law and nephew that were killed.
Really? Could you please give us his name, if you don't mind?
Bob and Brad Hughes.
Bob and Brad Hughes. You know, when I came back here in 1992, I was doing a speech at NDSU, and a woman came up to me and said, I know you, but you don't know me. And she said, that was my husband and my son on 19th Avenue North. And
yeah, their mother did work at NDSU.
Okay. Is she still alive?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. And what is her name?
Clarice.
Clarice, of course it is. And there were two friends that were also in the car with him.
But I don't have their names.
What do you remember of that terrible time?
Well, it was a terrible storm. And it put us all in a big state of shock.
Especially when you got the news early in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, Ethel, we're so sorry for your loss 30 years ago. None of us will ever forget it, that's for sure.
Hi, Chris, you're on KFGO.
Hi, Jack. Hi, Sandy. I remember going shopping with my little, not quite one-year-old daughter, coming home in sunshine, putting my pickup truck on the carport, not in the garage. Going in the house, my sister came home. I went upstairs to take a nap, and 45 minutes later, she's screaming, get down here, I can't see the barn. We had 12 head of horses still in a pasture. And so we literally took ropes and tied to the carport, and then held onto each other and made our way to the garage, to the loaf barn, and to the barn. And then we were able to get the horses in and get them cleaned up and get them bed down for the night and make our way back to the house.
A night you will not forget. Thank you very much, Chris. Carolyn, thank you. You're on KFGO. Where were you 30 years ago today?
I was in my 10th year at American Linen, known as back then, and then Ameripride, it's called now. And there were so many that worked, like Mapleton and Harwood and the Lakes area and Wild Rice, and I lived only a few blocks from, and I was one that stayed there and got the Bismarck people and the Grand Forks people and the Wahpeton people and the Lakes people, all their linen and laundry and coveralls and everything, service stations. a lot of them didn't make it, and some had to stay there a while, and we had to get the day before stuff all ready and the day of stuff ready, and the soiled linen had to come in and get the clean ready for. I was one that was local. I didn't have to worry about a babysitter, hubby waiting for meal, and a ride coming to and from. Carpools, nothing. And I was there working, and concrete floors didn't matter. Some of the machines running, and some came, some didn't. That storm didn't bother me none. I worked away. We had to get the stuff out, and that was something. All over that American linen helps people out.
That storm
from the
would...
restaurants to the restrooms to the service station, check the oil to the, you name it, coveralls are working away, meat cutters.
That store would only last 18 hours, but the job had to be done.
It had to be, yes.
When work resumes. Thank you, Carolyn.
Thanks, Carolyn. Here is an email into the studio, February 4th, 1984, 30 years ago. The Great White Wall hit about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I was in the National Guard at the time that storm hit. My home unit was in Hillsboro, but I and two other guardsmen were in Grand Forks for interviews that Sunday. We were going to try to make it back to Hillsboro before the storm hit. I was driving a military pickup and the other two were driving another vehicle. We left Grand Forks and the storm wasn't too bad yet, but we didn't get very far before you couldn't see more than 10 feet in front of the vehicles. I was following them, and we just crept along the interstate until we found the exit to Thompson. I've never been so scared in my entire life as that day. We were lucky we got to a cafe in Thompson and spent the next 16 hours there. As I recall, when we did leave the next day, there were many stranded vehicles along the interstate from the Thompson exit to Hillsboro. We stopped at every one of those vehicles to check for people. Fortunately, we found none.
Another message we got here is, we remember 30 years ago today. Someone writes, we were doing chores in the barn when the storm hit. My brother lived 2 miles east of the farm, and he had just left. It took him an hour to drive 2 miles. We had to wait till dark so we could see the lights on the house. We lived 1 mile east. We lived 1 mile east of Georgetown. Thank you, Rich, for that. And also, a fellow wrote us and saying that I've been sending you an email about a video production produced about that storm along with timestamps, etc. Names, are you getting it? Yes. Thank you very much for sending them.
We have been getting them. Bob Robert Hughes was the 50-year-old man who was with his son, who was 13 at the time, and two of his son's friends. And keep in mind that there were people from EVAC and the police, FM ambulance. However they could get to the cars on 19th Avenue North, they were trying to do. They were opening up car doors and finding people in those cars that were literally freezing to death. So there was life-saving measures taken all day, all night, and into the morning. So when you heard the news of those four lost and the nearly 16 that had died in that blizzard, there was this real sense of failure. Mm-hmm. It was, I'll never forget that moment. Sue Ellison and I woke up at about 5 that morning from just laying down for maybe a couple of hours. And we literally heard Paul Juergens call Bill Hoverson with that news, the breaking news that four bodies were found in a car on 19th Avenue North. And it was like you shot a cannon through all of us who were here in that building. But then we had to carry on. We had to move on, and we had to continue to do what we were supposed to do. Thank you to Gloria, who brought in the newspaper from February 6th, the Forum, Fargo-Moorhead, from February 6th, 1984. And on the front cover, there's pictures, and I believe it's 19th Avenue North, of cars that were stranded and that were literally buried in the snow. You could really only see sometimes the roof of their car. And also part of the article is the names of those two others that also died in that car that afternoon with Robert Hughes and his son Bradley. Dean Stansfield was 14. He was from Fargo. And Charles Boyce was 13, and he was from North Fargo. And they were the two other young men that were with Robert and Bradley that day.
Charles What do you remember about that Great White Wall, that storm 30 years ago today that impacted so hard, so viciously?
I was on that plane that was stuck on the runway.
There was a plane stuck on the runway? How long were you there?
Let's see. The National Guard finally came out, I think, about 3 o'clock. We sat in there at 5:30.
3 a.m.?
No, yeah, 3 a.m. in the morning.
Okay, well, what time were you supposed to leave?
5:30 the night before, flying to Pittsburgh.
And you were on that plane for how long?
5:30 to about 2.
Was it cold in the plane? Were they able to keep it warm?
Oh yeah, the plane was running. They just sat there. We were ready to take off, and you heard them speed up the engines to go, and then you heard the engine shut off right away, and we're stuck. The pilot comes on. We lost their visibility to take off. So we had to just sit there, and it never did clear up. And finally, the National Guard finally got us with spotlights on some of their trucks or something. We ran out of fuel, and that's why they came out.
All right, Charles, thank you. That was a plane trip you'll not soon forget. Thank you very much for the call.
Darla is on the phone as we remember 30 years ago, the blizzard of 1984. Darla, good afternoon.
Hi. This is never going to leave my mind because we were young and we were in a rock band and we had a gig in, I think, Jamestown. So we left in our white bus off University to hit I-29. We got as far as maybe the West Acres ramp, and we ended up in a 12-car pileup in a white bus. And we got hit by two vehicles. I remember being thrown forward, and as the windshield wipers went one direction, before they came back, the snow was like a foot deep already.
Wow.
It's incredible.
You didn't make it, needless to say, to the concert.
No,
what was the name of your band?
We were called Tantrum.
Tantrum.
And then when the police and ambulance crews were coming, I remember somebody being hit by one of the emergency vehicles. The guys wouldn't let me off the bus, but they went out to help. And then we were on the highway, I think, from 3 in the afternoon till 7 that night. And since we had a bus, people piled into our vehicle, and we caravaned to West Fargo, a place that was called The Nugget. I don't know if anybody remembers that place, but it was on Main Avenue in West Fargo. And we finally made it home to my apartment at 3 in the morning. And the wind was still howling, so we went from apartment building to apartment building just to get our breath, because you couldn't even breathe in that wind.
Wow, Darla, thank you very much.
You.
Appreciate the call. There's people out there probably remember canceling that concert that night because the band was stranded in Fargo. Thank you.
And Rick, you're on Oh.
Oh, wait a minute here. Hold on. Maybe Gail is still there. Hi, Gail. Are you still with us?
Hello.
Oh, hi. Go ahead. You're on KFGO.
I was just wondering if anybody had heard. They did make a documentary that interviewed three of the people caught in the storm, and it played on PBS.
Yep. In fact, it's available on YouTube. What's it called, Sandy?
It's called The 16 Hours Behind the White Wall.
It is available at YouTube. You can look it up. 16 Hours Behind the White Wall, and it is a moving documentary. Hi, Rick. You're on KFGO.
Hi. Hey, guys. How are you?
Very well.
Good. Well, it happens to be my wife and mine anniversary today, 30 years.
Oh, your 30th anniversary.
Yep.
Were you married in Fargo?
Yes, we were.
What time?
About, I think it was 6:30, 7 o'clock. I remember during the day, it was just gorgeous out, and we made it to the church. There was probably, the wedding party made it, and then the wedding started, and it was maybe 20 people in the audience that made it to the wedding. We got married down at the Methodist Church right off of 10th Street and 1st Avenue South, and our reception was at the Holiday Inn. So we took off after the wedding to get to the Holiday Inn for the reception and went through town. It wasn't too bad till we got on 13th Avenue close to West Acres. We had guys just walking alongside the car to get over to the Holiday Inn.
Just so you could see where you were going.
Yep. Yeah,
so you must have gotten married earlier than that, because the storm, I think, hit Fargo.
Well, he got there earlier. You probably were left by 2:33 o'clock.
Yeah.
So they were there well in advance of that, because you could get just about anywhere you wanted to go at about 3:25. And then at about 3:35, you could get maybe a block or two. By 4 p.m., you could get nowhere.
So February 4th, you remember two things, the Great White Wall and your wedding. Thank you very much.
News update, I'm Harley Carnes.
We've been looking back 30 years ago, February 4th, 1984, blizzard, and we got a text message. JNS, I was a 16-year-old Northside kid in 1984, and for some reason, I don't remember anything about the actual storm. I do remember the picture of the cars on 19th Avenue North, but that's about all. Kathleen joins us. She was in one of those cars on 19th Avenue North 30 years ago today. Kathleen, good afternoon.
Hi there, I'm calling you from Minneapolis. My mom was listening to this, so she called me and told me that you guys were talking about it.
So how
I was actually 9 months pregnant, and I was bored sitting around waiting for Sarah to come. So I took my son Ben, he was 4 and a half, I took him to West Acres. When we came out, it was beautiful, great big snowflakes falling down, and I said, isn't this gorgeous? Then we went to that furniture store that was on Main Avenue and 29, just to kill time. Had no business being there. We came out and the wind had come up. So I jumped on I-29. I lived in North Fargo. Got off on 19th Avenue. As soon as I got off or came to get off onto the ramp to go on 19th Avenue, it was a whiteout on my windshield. So all I could see was the stop sign. Couldn't see if any cars were coming from the left. Just took my chances, made a right-hand turn. I hugged the right side of the road. I remember seeing that tractor sign. It's in a diamond shape, and it's still there, the yellow tractor sign. That's the last thing I saw. I just, when the wind would blow, I could see sometimes I could see dirty snow to the right. I didn't want to get hit head on, so I was just creeping along really slow. And then finally a car got tired of being behind me, so it went in front of me, and then sporadically for a little while I could see its taillight. You know, you're going like 1 or 2 miles an hour. And then I got through 19th Avenue and hit University at about 5 p.m.
Wow.
I just lived just barely up the road from there on 7th Avenue or 7th Street. So I got off of that 19th Avenue stretch at 5 o'clock, and they figured that was the last people that got through. My daughter was born 4 days later. So had we been one of those tragedies on 19th Avenue, we would have been a triple tragedy.